It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
Welcome back. It is In the Loop with LPS. This is the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. So fortunate this week to be joined by another wonderful guest. She is the Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Learning in Liberty Public Schools. Her name is Dr. Julie Moore. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for finally having me.
You know what? We've been, that's been kind of this running joke in recent weeks as we've been out on the tour with Dr. Tucker's State of the District, is he's given us a few shameless plugs to the staff that we have this new podcast. And every time he talks about the podcast, you give me this stare, kind of this glare across the room.
Yeah.
We're making it happen.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this would be fun to catch up over the course of the next 20, 25 minutes or so. How you been? How's the new, of course, we say the new year. I guess 2024 is new, but the school year is now, of course, going to quickly be coming down the stretch.
Right. We're already getting ready for graduation, so it's going fast, but it's been a great year. We've got new team members and a lot of new leaders in our district. So that's been fun, and it's been great working with them and watching them, you know, thrive in their schools. So been exciting, but time is flying by.
So tell us about this year for you. Of course, you come into this new role as Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Learning. You hit the ground running, and as you mentioned, lots of new faces in different roles, not only here at the DAC, but principals in our buildings at both the elementary and secondary level and DCC. I'm sure it's been quite an experience for you.
Yeah, it's been nice to have executive directors back. We had that previously, so it's nice to have them back and be able to work. So previously, I got to work with all the building principals. Now to have people who are really focused on that and serving them, especially with so many new leaders going out to the building, seeing how they can help them, that's been exciting. And then having Dr. Schmitz here for curriculum and instruction, that's been great to have somebody solely focused on that so that I can kind of think about vision for the department and for the district, kind of aligning our strategic plan and our vivid vision and saying, how do we make that happen in our schools?
Yeah. The way these podcast interviews work, of course, we do a get to know, and a lot of times we'll open with get to know. We're going to mix it up a little bit for our listeners. We're going to kind of talk about your department, what's going on. Again, you mentioned Dr. Schmitz. I'll probably have you elaborate on kind of your team on the fourth floor. And then something new this week, it's three questions with Dr. Moore as we wrap up. I'll toss those your way. So let's talk innovation and learning to begin. Talk about your team. Yeah, again, maybe starting with, of course, Dr. Van Batavia, Dr. Wilson, and then kind of across the board.
So we have Executive Director of Secondary Education, that's Dr. Van Batavia, and he works with our middle schools and high schools. He came to us from North Kansas City and has hit the ground running and has some AVID experience, so that's been great. He's been doing that and just really getting into the buildings and getting to know the leaders and seeing how he can help them. Dr. Wilson is Executive Director of Elementary, and she was formerly the principal at Kellybrook. So she knows the district well, and she already had great relationships with all the elementary principals and assistant principals. So that has been great just to have her go out there and, again, support them and really work with them on some initiatives that they want to do, competency-based learning, MTSS, some of that. And then, as I mentioned, Dr. Schmitz was the principal at Epic, highly successful there. And she's come in and really helped us streamline our curriculum. And she also oversees the directors in the department. So she works with assessment, fine arts, library media, college career, all of those, and does a great job of kind of just making sure we our vision is also alive in the classrooms through the curriculum.
You talk about the new faces and in new positions, I guess. And to me, what a nice blend. You have some new faces in the district, but also the familiar faces. That's probably not a bad thing.
It's nice to have people who know how we've done things, but it's also nice to have somebody from outside of the district to maybe challenge a little bit how we've always done things, and maybe here's something to think of that's different that maybe we haven't done in Liberty before. And just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean that's how we should continue to do it.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before this interview, I wanted to ask you just kind of some of those big rocks, if you will, in air quotes, for your department this year. What would stand out to you?
I would say the biggest thing right now is our real world learning. And that's been an initiative for a while, and trying to get every student to graduate with a market value asset. As a Kansas City metro area, the goal is that 100% of students graduate with a market value asset by 2030. In Liberty, we like to be ahead of the curve. And so we decided by 2025, we were going to make that happen. So that is our junior class right now.
Yeah.
So it's really finding every opportunity we can for students to have some kind of work experience, whether that's the internship, course embedded. I mean, if you are a student in sports marketing or auto tech, broadcasting, so many different edge, North Nation by Design. There's so many opportunities for those client connected projects, or like I said, internships, or even an entrepreneurial experience. We want kids to have that. And so knowing that we have that class of 2025.
Right on the doorstep.
Yep, right. So we want to just make sure that we have those opportunities ready to go, and that every student can find something to try before they graduate, to say, yeah, I do want to become a nurse. And you know, we started the Collegiate Nursing Academy this year in a partnership with William Jewell in Liberty Hospital. Yeah. We had 21 students in that. And we had, so for our second year, we had almost double the applicants. And just for students, I got to talk to some of them the other day at our PD session. And I said, how is it? And they were like, it's amazing the experience that they get to have now that they're wearing their white lab coats and they're going to the hospital and they're walking around and learning so much. They said, they knew 100% for those girls, this is what I want to do when I get done. But there's other people who might have that experience and say, that's not for me, which is great too. We want them to walk out and say, yeah, I went and did the nursing thing and I don't like it. That's okay.
I don't like blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So giving them that opportunity to try, maybe fail and or maybe succeed.
That's what we had Colleen Jones in here talking a little bit about that in the fall. And that's the thing I go back to all the time is we love the success stories, obviously, of the kids that get into something, they get plugged in and off they go, and they soar from that point the rest of their career. But I think just as important is these students that find out, nursing may not be for me. I don't like the sight of blood. And you're saving them probably thousands and thousands of dollars of schooling in something they may not end up even pursuing.
Their parents can thank us for that, right? if they're not going. I mean, we hear the stories about people who go into education and then they get to their student teaching and they're like, I'm not sure this is what I wanted to do. Well, you're a senior now. So I think the other thing that sticks out to me is we have our graduate profile, and we've had that for a few years now. But one of the things we did this year was we did learner progressions. And so we take each of those skills and dispositions in the graduate profile and say, this is what empathy means. And this is what it looks like for a kindergartner. This is what it looks like for a middle school student, what it looks like at the high school. Because it's not just about the work experience. It's about those skills that you get during that work experience, right? Or during that client connected project that you are, or during your class. Like, what is it? You have to be collaborative. You have to be a problem solver. You have to be empathetic, all of those things. And that students are getting opportunities to practice and demonstrate those skills so that when they do go into the workforce or post-secondary, they know I need to have these skills. This is important to whatever it is that I want to do and to be just to be a successful human.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Dr. Julie Moore, the Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Learning, our guest here as part of In the Loop with LPS. And I guess when we talk about big rocks going on, and this is a rock that we're all talking about right now, it'd be our strategic planning, the refresh that's currently taking place. A lot of our listeners may have seen our initial push of our survey that's been going out in recent weeks. I think we've had a nice response to that thus far. And I know that's something that you're heavily involved with, as far as I know you took Scott Fuller out on the road and did some focus groups with students, staff. Could you just talk about that process and kind of how this spring will unfold?
So, yeah, we had the opportunity to go around to about 9 or 10 schools, and at the elementary schools, he walked through some classrooms and talked to some students, and then met with focus groups of teachers, staff, different variety of people. At the middle school and high school level, he sat down with groups of students and really asked them some questions. I didn't get to go in the room because he wanted just to be honest, open conversations, and then again met with staff. And so he's done that. He'll come back here in the next few weeks. We're going to have some partnership meetings, community partners, business partners, just having him sit down with those groups. And that'll be more open to the public and parent groups, just to be able to come out and just share with us what they where they think we need to go as a district. So that's exciting to kind of see the next iteration of the work we've already done and maybe what's been successful and then what we hear from people of this is where we need to go.
Yeah. So for listeners, stay tuned for that as we will be sharing additional information as we continue on here in this journey over the next several weeks. I wanted to ask you, of course, we're coming off last week. Friday, we had a professional development day. And then, of course, that led into the long weekend with President's Day as we're recording this interview here on Wednesday. But sometimes questions come up from our parents, from our community. They may just think, of course, a lot of families are just thinking long weekend, maybe off to a ski trip or what have you. But Friday, that is a huge day for your department in the fact that you bring all the teaching staff together for a day of professional learning. And I had a chance to be up there on Friday morning and look like some really great stuff going on.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the department because everybody helped pull that together. We had about 88 sessions, teachers around the district. Everyone in our department did some presentation. And so we had 88 sessions. We had an opening session that was led by students, and that was cool to see. And then at the kind of the helm of that was one of our first Grow Your Own teacher who is over at Liberty Oaks right now. And so she was kind of head of the class and she got to thank teachers who've made an impact on her. But then we had the 88 sessions that we surveyed everyone and said, what are the things you want to learn about that are tied to our strategic plan? So we had real world learning. We talked about anxiety. We talked about social emotional learning, AI, which has kind of become a big topic. So teachers and paraprofessionals as well got to be there that day. They got to choose what they wanted to learn about. And so far the feedback we've gotten has been great. They want more of that. They want to be able to, they wanted to go to more sessions, which obviously couldn't happen. But we're going to try to find a way to build that in next year so that we can get some more of that learning to them. But it was a great day.
Yeah, good day. And, speaking of professional development, topic that comes up periodically, and now we're into a few years. Is this year two, year three on the early release Wednesdays?
Yeah, three.
That comes up every now and then. Just the question, a lot of parents maybe don't understand what goes on those days. I've heard you give updates, and you do a great job of explaining just how that looks on those early release Wednesdays. Could you just share a little bit about that to our listeners?
Sure. We do. We kind of rotate between building days and team days. So 1 week building time, they may get together and they may look at, our students and staff take the panorama survey. So they may look at the results of the panorama and say, how are our students feeling about school? And they then kind of make a plan for how do we improve this? How do we keep doing this? Or they may just talk about belonging. They talk about their school improvement goals. And then when they have team time, they're specifically looking at student data. So if the students have done iReady, if they've done some growth monitoring, if they have done a pre-assessment in something, those teams are sitting down and looking at that data and saying, okay, where are our students and what do we need to do to get them to the next level? How do we help them grow? So that is, that should be happening all the time, but to have that structured time for teachers to sit down and maybe say, gosh, your data was a little bit better than mine. What did you do differently that maybe I need to try? And just that collaboration time is crucial for them to look at the data and then decide what is it that we want to do to help our kids.
Yeah. Professional development. Yeah. So important. And that's been something that, and I'm sure that's something that's always being evaluated, what's working, what's not.
Yeah. It's hard to get a lot done in an hour, mm-hmm. but if you're strategic and you're working as a professional learning community and you're digging into the data, you can get quite a bit accomplished. But just like Friday, you know, having 3 or 4 hours in the morning with, you know, 1,100 of your colleagues is a great opportunity to not just see each other, but also come and just have some good conversations about what's happening across the district.
Yeah, good stuff. So now, drum roll, please. Get to know time.
Okay.
Get to know time with Julie Moore. How many years in LPS now?
Oh, I think this is 21 or 22 here. Yeah, crazy.
How about that? Tell us about your journey. So you came here. Mizzou, you're a Mizzou Tiger.
I'm a Mizzou Tiger, 4-time grad, stayed in Columbia and just decided I kind of wanted to hang out there for a little bit. I got my first teaching job after I graduated, worked for Columbia Public Schools there, taught English, also taught at risk. I don't tell many people about that journey, but taught at risk, and that was a great experience for me. Mm-hmm. Was there for 6 years and then came here in 2003, time flies, right? I can't even remember what year, but started out as a teacher at Liberty Junior High. Scott Carr was my principal, and I was only there for 1 year as a teacher, and then we opened up South Valley Junior High that next year, and worked as the assistant principal for Brad Armstrong, was his assistant principal for 5 years, and then took over as the principal until 2017, came here, central office, executive director of secondary for maybe three years. I can't even remember Dallas. A few years. And then I moved into assistant superintendent of leadership and learning communities. Did that where I got to work with all 19 buildings. And then with some restructuring this year, just kind of leading the department.
Yeah. Did you have, when you were teaching, did you kind of have an ambition to become an administrator and get into central office leadership?
I did not when I first started. Probably my second or third year of teaching, I had a principal in Columbia, Mary Laffey, who many people would know, and she came and asked me to lead the accreditation process for the school. I had no idea what that was. And I did it, and I think I did an okay job. She said, I think you need to go into administration. So I went and got my master's and really just fell in love with it. And then I've just had so many different opportunities along the way that have just led me to that next thing and just trying something else.
So several years as a middle, junior high, assistant principal. What's that like, having two eighth graders now? What is that like to lead a building?
Just what you imagine. You know what? Most people say, I could never do middle school or I could never do elementary. I couldn't see myself doing anything but middle school. Sometimes I'm a big kid and I just love that they're finding themselves. They're going through some changes and there's some, my neighbors will, you know, as their kids were going into middle school, would just say, gosh, I don't know what's wrong with my kid. And I'm like, they're going into middle school. That's what it is, right? And then they get out of it. But I just love that. I love that age. They're exploring what they love and finding who their friends are. And there's just nothing like it. And they still like you, you know, they still, the principal's still pretty cool at middle school. So
one of the biggest adjustments for me, probably the biggest adjustment I've ever had in my professional career was, and of course it was mid-year, I went from working with students in a broadcasting class at Liberty High on a Friday to a Monday in February coming to Central Office. And I truly miss, first of all, I miss those kids, but then it went from this loud noise of voices to Central Office.
Quiet.
It's this quiet. Did you have trouble with that adjustment a little bit?
I did, and I found myself just going out to the buildings to see the kids. I miss it. And I think that if you're in my position or really any position in the innovation and learning department or as a superintendent, like you have to have that, you just have to have that drive that you want to go back. You want to help building principals. You want to help teachers be better because you miss that, right? I think anytime that you forget what it's like to be a teacher or a principal or you miss that, then you kind of have to reevaluate what you're doing. I love what I do, but I loved being a building principal and just being around the kids and just seeing the changes that they go through and just the silliness in the cafeteria and all of that. There's nothing like that. And there's days where you need the quiet, which is kind of nice. But I sure do. I'd love just being able, even with the job now, just to get out and go see kids. Like we were over at Liberty High School today for an hour doing a walkthrough, and we had three amazing tour guides that told us about their time at Liberty High School, how much they love it, and that makes what I do worth it.
Absolutely. Again, Julie Moore, the Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Learning, joining us here as we have a few minutes left. I got to talk about the fam.
Yeah.
Of course, your husband Lance in the district and your son, he's growing like a weed. I saw him a couple weeks ago over at Shoal Creek. My goodness.
He is.
Talk about that, your crew.
Yeah. So my husband teaches at Liberty North and coaches football up there, and that keeps him busy pretty much 12 months out of the year. But it's okay. It's worth it. And then Tristan is in fourth grade at Shoal Creek, has Mrs. Benner and just absolutely adores her. You know, she walks on water for him and for us. And he's into all the things, basketball, baseball, football, of course, whatever. People always say, which is his favorite? And I said, whichever one he's in, right? I mean, he's all about basketball right now. And in about 2 weeks, he'll be all about baseball. But he's been here and it's had amazing teachers every year. And he's a fun kid. And it's fun to watch them when you learn about things. Like, I'm just kind of dreading those middle school years knowing what I know. But I know that they're coming. And he's going to, you know, right now he's super sensitive. And when I walk into his classroom, he runs up and he gives me a hug. And I know in a few years that's not going to happen. Yeah. But that's okay.
It's interesting. I guess it's kind of that, you know what you don't know, but looking back, it's like, what a different perspective it gives you when you have kids of your own walking the halls in our school.
Yes.
So what's that been like for you?
I love it. It just gives me that perspective of, you know, what I hear from him, what I hear from teachers, what I hear from principals, and just knowing more than anything, probably, again, fourth grade boy, just boy in general, like knowing what teachers go through every day. I think that's the most important thing, is just keeping that perspective of that's a hard job.
Yeah. How would you describe your leadership style?
Ooh,
not to just take a quick hard right turn.
Yeah.
This is before, of course, our final three questions, right? And I'm sure you're waiting anxiously.
I am. I read something about shepherd leadership a while back, and that's really stuck with me. And I thought, I hope that that's how people see me, in that if you're ready to fly, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let you go and do your thing, and I'm going to let you try and innovate. But I'm also then, as a shepherd, I'm going to stand in the back, and I'm going to help those people who need a little push or maybe need a little extra support. I'm going to be back there with them, kind of teaching, guiding. And hopefully people find that I have a vision and that I, you know, let them just try new things. Just on the walkthrough, I was talking to Dr. Camp about a micro school idea. And I was like, let's sit down and let's just make that happen.
Yeah.
Right. I love being able to do that. And I love doing that with leaders. So I hope that they find that I'm a good resource for them.
Absolutely. Well, drum roll, please, again.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. A few minutes left here, and appreciate your time again here this week. But these are the final three questions. They're completely random.
Okay.
So, again, not to put you on the spot, but here's one. That would be your last song that you searched for on your device, whether that be Amazon, whether that be... What song did you search for and listen to?
Well, I would say that it was probably Yeah by Usher, because obviously the Super Bowl. My son loves music, and he listens to every week. He has a new song that he listens to on repeat. So right now he's listening to Humble by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yes.
And we've listened to that about 18,000 times. But right before the Super Bowl, I said, do you know who Usher is? And he had heard of him, but he didn't know his music. And so I kind of played that for him a few times, and then tried to give him a few other songs that he might play there. But that was probably the last one.
Now, the rumor has it, of course, we have a district vehicle that oftentimes we will take to maybe a meeting downtown or around the Northland. And you will use that vehicle, and then Dr. Tucker or others may get in it. And after you've driven it, apparently the volume is very, very high. And is it country music?
It's country music. I'm guilty of that. I like my country music and love some Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen. Those are probably my two favorites right now. So I like to jam out to those when I'm by myself in the car. But we do have to also say that when I get in the car after Dr. Tucker, he leaves it on empty every time. So I do leave the music up.
Okay.
I will admit to that. But he always leaves the gas tank on empty. So I get in the car at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive 3 hours, and
we all have our phones.
Miles,
is what you're saying.
It's okay. He's the boss, so he can do that.
Dr. Tucker sounds like my wife in my world, because that oftentimes happens conveniently as well.
Sorry.
Moving on. This is question two of three. So Julie Moore receives an all-expense-paid trip to anywhere in the world for 1 week. That doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Sounds wonderful.
Where are you going to go? It could be near, it could be far.
Well, I think I would pick Aruba. And haven't been there. Love the beach. But also, I tend to get really fascinated with mystery murder type cases. Mm-hmm. And for years, I've been fascinated with the Natalie Holloway situation. And I know that was so long ago, but I'd love to just visit that beach. And so I could actually go and relax, but I could also go back to the scene of stuff that I've watched for, I don't even know how long ago that was. It was forever. But
would you bring a bodyguard with you?
I would probably,
Or at least Lance.
I'd probably bring my husband and let him be there with me. But that, I think it would just be fascinating to be able to see that, and then also just be there in the blue water. Maybe that or Bora Bora.
How many times have you been out of the state? I've never been out of the United States.
Oh, really?
Never.
No. I took a group of students my first year of teaching to Italy, Spain, and France.
Really?
Yes. And that was fascinating. And then I've been to Mexico several times. So I love beach, warm weather. So anywhere, our dream vacation really is to be in one of those little huts over the water that you see that, not many people can afford.
Yeah.
So maybe someday before.
All expense paid trip to anywhere.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Final question. Let's go into the world of education. Fitting. Your favorite elementary school teacher and why?
Ooh.
I'm sure you had a lot of good ones.
I did.
This would have been, where would this have been?
I would have been in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, I'm embarrassed because at the time I didn't know anything about sports, but I had a teacher. Her name was Mrs. Steckelberg. And she brought a guest speaker in who talked to us. And I thought, you know, it was cool, but I was a fourth grade girl. And years later, I remembered who that person was who came to our classroom. And at the time, again, didn't appreciate it. But George Brett came into our classroom, and I don't even remember a whole lot about it, but
what?
George Brett came into our classroom and
did you get his autograph?
No, I didn't know who he was. I mean, at the time, again, I was a fourth grade girl. I cared more about, you know, the boys and,
wow.
So that stuck to me that whatever she did, right? We do that now with real world learning, but at the time, I didn't care so much, but I remembered years later that I'm like, oh, that's who that guy was.
Oh, my gosh.
So
what year was that? Not
reason,
the date of it.
That would have been
1980. Right in his prime, probably.
80, 81. Yeah, it was somewhere right in there. And again, I didn't, you know, I just didn't know who he was. But now, that's super cool. But that's the one teacher, not just because of that. She was just amazing. We had a student that year who I believe had passed, got really sick. I can't remember the circumstances, but we had a student that passed away, and I just remember the way she handled it as well. So all of my, you know, memories of elementary kind of go back to her and just different experiences I had in that classroom.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of what it's all about.
That's right.
When you think
that's right.
That,
yeah.
That I may have to work this question into more of these. That's the first time we've asked that,
but
very fitting. But hey, That's about a half an hour.
All right.
On In the Loop with LPS. You asked before we went on here if this was something we'd have to edit, and I said absolutely not. This is a one take, no edits. And,
let's hope.
And for our listeners, you know, we had no edits necessary. We just ran right through this, and I really appreciate the time. And glad you guys are doing wonderful work up there on the fourth floor, and. I'm sure we'll have you on again here coming up.
Good. I'm always happy to join you.
Julie, appreciate it again. Great info, great conversation, and you guys have a great rest of the year. And, of course, this busy, busy spring coming up, as you mentioned, with commencement and prom and recognition ceremonies. Map testing. Business is about to pick up, as they say.
It is. So, yeah, it'll fly by.
Well, have a great rest of the day and week and school year.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, Julie Moore. She's our Assistant Superintendent of Innovation and Learning. So kind to join us this week as part of In the Loop. We'll talk to you again next week with another amazing guest. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.